This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Joe Simidian, who's a California State Senator. Welcome to California Politics Today.
My pleasure to be with you.
Tell us first what district you represent in the California State Senate.
I represent the 11th State Senate District, which includes all or part of 13 cities in San Mateo, Santa Clara, and Santa Cruz counties.
Okay. Does that include Stanford and Palo Alto? Or?
It does. I make my home in Palo Alto, and Stanford, of course, is right next door.
So no one's going to be able to accuse you of being a Luddite who hates technology, are they?
Quite the opposite. I am a Silicon Valley legislator, and in fact, AEA, the American Electronics Association, named me their high-tech legislator of the year a few years ago.
Okay. Tell us what SB 682, the Identity Information Protection Act of 2005, would do if it were passed.
Well, the goal of the measure is really pretty simple. It is to put in place a thoughtful and rational policy for the state of California with respect to the use of RFID technology, radio frequency identification technology, in government identity documents. It's relatively narrow and limited. It's limited to government documents, to government identity documents in particular. And it simply takes the view that your personal information is personal. You probably don't want to be broadcasting that either for government tracking purposes or to be skimmed by bad guys out there with bad ideas on their mind. So we're trying to limit the use of the technology specifically and exclusively in government identity documents.
Okay, now with all these downsides that you've just mentioned, what's the case for putting RFID on a government identity card?
Well, I think RFID is a marvelous technology. I think we're only going to see the growth of RFID in the coming years. It's small, it's cheap, it's versatile, and it's great for tracking cattle or cans of soup. But two sets of issues arise when you're talking about government identity documents. One is the sort of potential for big brother government tracking, whether that's your fast track when you're driving through the toll plaza, whether it's an ID card that you might suddenly discover was used for more than just identification purposes. But the other concern, of course, is skimming by folks who might be wanting to compromise your privacy, your personal safety, or your financial security. The upsides, the upsides, however, are that it is, as I say, cheap, convenient, small, versatile, but there are exceptions that we have in the bill, some obvious ones. Prisoners, for example, if you're trying to keep track of the movement of prisoners in a secure facility, makes sense. Some hospital settings where you're going to want to know that you've got the right patient and you may want to be able to track the movement of patients, and where there's also, frankly, some medical reason for having a contactless technology like RFID. But we think those exceptions are relatively few and far between, and for the most part, we're concerned about trying to make sure that there isn't a potential abuse either by government or by folks out there who might want to compromise your personal privacy.
So in fact, what you're saying is that while it's appropriate in some cases, or in all cases of prisons and some in medical settings, to be able to monitor the movement of the subjects, it's not appropriate to use a system that's capable essentially of turning the whole world into a prison or a total institution to have that capacity.
Well, I just think that as a culture, Americans are understandably and appropriately concerned about government tracking and about, this issue has arisen now everywhere from, a small elementary school district in Northern California where every kid in the school was told they had to wear an RFID identification badge around their neck so that they could be tracked at school, all the way, of course, to the discussions going on at the national level about using RFID technology in a passport. Groups like the Business Travelers Association, a pretty mainstream to conservative group, have expressed concern about, having their passports beep, 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 and indicate what their nationality was in a foreign capital, which could understandably put them at risk. So it's I don't want to overstate the concern. I'm not an alarmist on this subject. I think the technology has a lot of good uses, but I think you have to ask yourself, do we really want to be in a situation where some document which is really, mandatory or essential, anything from a driver's license to a library card to a student ID card, can be used by the government to track you for other purposes, or could be skimmed by someone who wants to track or stalk your wife or your daughter? Do they want to steal your personal information and, perhaps engage in some sort of identity theft? Those are all legitimate concerns we think we've got a bill that strikes the right balance.
Okay. Speaking of the bill, let's talk a little bit about its status in the California legislature. It passed out of the Senate just recently.
It did.
What was the vote?
Well, it was 29-7. There were a few folks absent that day, but 29-7 in a 40-member Senate, and I was pleased. All 21 Democrats who were there voted for the bill. But so did 8 of the 15 Republicans. We had a majority then of both the Republican and Democratic caucuses. And it's an issue that really shouldn't be either ideological or partisan, and I'm pleased that to a large measure it was not. You know, relatively, quote, conservative groups have weighed in on this issue, largely, I think, because of their concern about small government and the, you know, smaller government, and their desire to make sure that bigger government is not tracking them. Civil liberties issues cut across the ideological spectrum as well. So far we've had good bipartisan support, and I hope that continues. The bill is now in the California State Assembly, and that's where we'll have to win a vote of support for a second time before we can send the bill to the governor.
Have you heard from the governor about his views on this?
We've not, although it's an interesting question, because I did get a call from the governor's office has an office back in Washington, D.C. to represent California's interests there, and they apparently had gotten some phone calls, or at least one, that prompted them to give a call and say, hey, what's up? Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on? You know, I think I'm told that this is a first of its kind in the nation bill, and apparently it's generated quite a bit of interest, you know, from one end of the country to the other.
Okay, speaking of the other end of the country, Section 202B9 of the Real ID Act, which was just passed recently at the urging of Congressman Sensenbrenner and others in Washington, requires, quote, a common machine-readable technology with defined minimum data elements on all federally acceptable driver's licenses. I have a call into the Department of Homeland Security, which is the agency apparently that's going to decide how to implement this standard. How do the provisions of SB 682 relate to the provision in the Real ID Act of 2005 at the federal level that requires some machine-readable technology, not necessarily RFID, on driver's licenses for them to be used in federal contexts?
Well, and that's exactly the key issue that you just raised, or the statement that you made is, not necessarily RFID. We've got lots of other technologies out there. It could be an optical scan. It could be a magnetic swipe. It could be a two-dimensional barcode. And in fact, the bill as it is drafted says, look, if there is some compelling state interest and there is no other available technology, then you can use RFID in these kinds of documents. But it says, first, prove that there's a really important reason why you need to do this, and second, prove to us that you can't find some other technology that'll do the job.
Okay.
So we think that the federal mandates can be met with some other technology, and you know, I've not heard anyone argue to the contrary thus far.
Okay, now you mentioned the State Department had an intention to put RFID in passports. I talked to them yesterday, and they were kind of a little hemming and hawing about the whole thing. Is this intended in any way to sort of send a message to the federal government that this isn't a good idea and that there ought to be a discussion that it's not a good idea? And do you think this could impact what the U.S. State Department does at all?
Well, I think what happened at the State Department is probably a good example. I think they moved a little too far, a little too fast, and they were proposing, as I understand it, to use what's known as an open system, which is basically a pretty non-secure approach to using RFID. There is a middle ground here, and that is to say, if you're going to use RFID technologies, then for identification documents, then let's do it in a way that is as safe and sane as we possibly can. Let's make sure that we don't have personal information on the RFID, but that what we have is some sort of unique personal identifier, what you and I would consider a code number, for example.
So essentially the data would be in the database, so that if you're walking by some cafes in some unnamed city where Americans aren't particularly popular, it wouldn't be possible to detect by RFID what your nationality is.
Well, it might still be possible to detect your nationality, but instead of it saying, this is Joe Simidian at 123 Main Street,
right,
it would say, hi, this is number 1234567,
right,
and then you'd need to be have the access to the database in order to understand what 1234567 means.
Right.
In addition to that unique personal identifier, I think it makes sense to require encryption at a fairly sophisticated level. I also think it makes sense to require authentication. Now we've built in not one, but two, but three kinds of protections, so that in those cases where you decide, you know what, we're still going to use RFID technology, you've built in some additional increment of protection. My understanding is that that level of protection was not what the State Department had initially anticipated, and there are some other things the State Department might do as well in terms of, in effect, building a shield into the passport document itself so that it was less vulnerable to being compromised by someone who was skimming or trying to read remotely without your permission and knowledge.
The so-called Faraday cage.
Exactly.
The city of Los Angeles just announced the placement of video surveillance cameras at a high level of intensity in a particularly crime-ridden part of the city. Could this kind of surveillance be combined with RFID scanners to provide a minute, closer surveillance of millions of people? And is that one of the dangers that you're trying to prevent here?
Well, I think, you know, every one of these intrusions on our privacy in exchange for some greater measure of security or perceived measure of increased security represents a judgment call. I think the question you've asked, which is a good one, is to what extent do these all taken together represent an even greater intrusion on our personal privacy? What you discover is that what may seem like an isolated piece of information is really very powerful and very intrusive when combined with others. So we talked about that unique identifier a minute ago. So no big deal, perhaps, if somebody knows that you're 1234567, unless they also know how to access the database, which explains everything about you that's tied to that unique identifier. A visual surveillance coupled with the ability to track using RFID, certainly the two taken together, I think a strong case can be made that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
What's your reading on what the trend line that there is? Obviously, recent events in the U.S. have encouraged some people to push for more surveillance, more control in the name of national security and homeland security. Do you think that the pendulum is still moving in that direction?
No, I think the pendulum is swinging back. I think the Patriot Act, in fact, generated concern and interest about these issues. You know, the pendulum probably swung a bit too far with the Patriot Act, and I think it's now swinging back. And as I say, what I have found is that the measure I've proposed with respect to RFID has generated interest and support entirely across the ideological spectrum, and it becomes very hard to peg people politically on these issues when you're talking about personal privacy, and particularly with, and in fact, one of my Republican colleagues on the state Senate floor stood and asked a question very direct. This is limited only to government identification documents. Yes, that's right. Thank you very much. I'm an I vote, says he. So I think that there's a I think the pendulum is swinging back, and I think that's typical on these kinds of issues in American politics. There's a dramatic event. There's an understandable reaction. Sometimes there's an overreaction, and over time, the public puts pressure on the process to correct and find a sensible middle ground.
The reemergence of what Arthur Schlesinger Jr. likes to call the vital center.
Yes, and look, there's no magic to the center on every issue. Sometimes dramatic measures are required. Sometimes, you know, a hard line in the sand is perhaps appropriate and important. But I think in general, the public's pretty savvy about understanding, on the one hand, we have legitimate security concerns. On the other hand, that can't be the excuse to brush personal privacy issues aside and to suggest that there aren't equally great, if not greater, concerns when we surrender our privacy to not only our government, but to anyone who has the technology to skim and to acquire that information for bad purposes.
Okay, thank you for providing us with the information about this bill. What's your expectation? You think it is going to pass and the governor's going to sign it?
Well, I think we have a somewhat tougher row to hoe now that we've left the state Senate and are headed to the Assembly, if only because the bill has panicked some of the folks in the industry, not just in California, but across the country.
Which industry is that?
Well, the RFID industry. And I have tried very hard to make plain to folks in the industry that I am supportive of the technology in appropriate settings, that this is a relatively narrow but important set of uses that I've addressed, and that there's a way to find some common ground here. But, you know, not surprisingly, some folks have reacted pretty vigorously in terms of objecting to any limits. I think that's an unfortunate position to take. mistake.
And in fact, this says nothing about whether the Dodgers and the Giants or Disneyland can use RFID to protect the safety of children or to monitor people as they come in on season passes or anything like that.
That's right. And I think, frankly, part of the problem we've got is that a lot of the folks who follow these issues are Washington-based. They're used to an extraordinarily
polarized.
Well, not only polarized, but things in Washington seem to happen at glacial speed.
Right.
You know, they're not used to someone looking at a problem, sorting out the options, saying here's a sensible area where we might find some common ground, and moving forward. Because things are polarized, they're also stuck in Washington. So the notion that in a matter of months, California State Senate would have looked at the issue, come to some consensus on a bipartisan basis and move forward, that's very foreign and in some cases very scary to folks who are looking at these issues from the other coast.
Well, are you saying that the commercial interests of private corporations in terms of selling their technology has the potential to override the civil liberties issues and the will of the people of California in this point?
I think that is a possibility. My hope is that we'll be able to calm everybody down, find some common ground, and move forward notwithstanding those concerns.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for talking to us today on California Politics Day. Hopefully we can talk some more in the future as the issue is joined on both sides and continue to let people know what the facts of the case are.
Well, it's been my great pleasure, and I hope that your listeners will stay in touch with us as well. Again, it's Senate Bill 682, and it's easy to find if you go to the California State Senate's webpage on the World Wide Web.
And our listeners should feel free to contact you or their own legislators in California to express their views on this.
Absolutely,
issue.
And particularly now their local state assembly members, that's where the action is today.
Okay, good. Thanks very much for talking to us.
My pleasure. Take care.
Right.
Stay in touch.
Bye.